Our shiur today is on Shabbos, Saf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The sugya is Habotzer Lagas, and I'll be giving the shiur. And the source page is not up yet, I'm afraid. But, the source page is not up. We'll put that up afterwards. The discussion over here will be about the din of hechsher, which I'll explain, and as it relates to the Gemara in Shabbos. Hechsher is a fascinating subject, which is not covered in depth in any one point in the Gemara in breadth, because the Gemara was not written on the section of Mishnah which discusses it. However, it comes up in numerous places throughout Shas, and over there, each time there's a discussion in the Rishonim about the various halachas of Heksher. We'll start with the Gemara, which says, Habotzer Lagas, someone who collects the grapes from his grapevine, Lagas, in order to press them and to make wine out of them. Shammai Omer Hukshar, Hillel Omer Lo Hukshar. Shammai says that the grapes which he has collected are Hukshar, are able to be Mekabel Tuma, and Hillel says they're not Hukshar, they're not able to be Mekabel Tuma. The concept of Hukshar means that we know certain items are able to cause food to become Tumei. If food touches a dead body, or someone that touched a dead body, or even a kli, a utensil that touched a dead body, or if it touches a sheretz, a dead lizard, there are shmona shrotim, there are eight different types of creatures, lizards and the like, which are listed in the Torah, which qualify as shrotim. If one of those dies and touches it, if one of those dies, it is a source of tumah. If it touches food, it makes the food tumah. There are various levels of tumah: rishon l'tumah, sheni l'tumah, which depends on the strength of the tumah, and there are various ramifications for tumah. Some of the most famous are, the most well known are, that tumah can make truma not fit to be eaten. If truma touches something tummy, it becomes tummy, and it is not fit to be eaten. One may not eat truma that becomes tummy. The same applies to carbonos. If a carbon becomes tummy, one may not eat from that carbon. If wine or grapes become tummy, one may not use that wine or grapes for truma or for a carbon. The times of the Beit HaMikdash, and even after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, the Chachamim would make sure to eat everything, the Taira. All the food would be eaten while it is Tar. They would not eat food that became Tamei. So this Machloket B'Til B'Shamai is whether grapes, which were collected in order to be pressed into wine, are Hukshir Mekabel Tuma or not, are able to be Mekabel Tuma or not. And this would be a very important halacha in the time when people were makbid on Tumah and Taira, when Jews in Eretz Yisrael were careful not to eat food that became Tumah. Okay, what does it mean grapes are able to become to be Mekabel Tumah, or wine is able to be Mekabel Tumah? When should food of any sort be able or not able to be Mekabel Tumah? The halacha is as follows. No food is able to be mekabel tuma until it comes into contact with water. The pasuk says, ki yutan mayim al zera, when water is placed on food, and then the food comes into contact with a sheret, a dead lizard, or with something else that's tuma, then the food becomes tuma. However, when the food has never come into contact with water, the food cannot become tameh, even if there's a dead bug on it, even if it touches a dead body, the food will not become tameh. This is the rule of Heksher. Heksher meaning preparation. The preparation for making a food tame is that it comes into contact with water. Once it comes into contact with water, even after the water dries out, it still can be mekabel tumah, meaning that if a bug, a dead sheretz, touches the food, even after it has become completely dry, the food will become tame. If the food never came into contact with water, or with one of the seven liquids that are considered liquids that can be machshir, then the food cannot become tame. There are seven liquids which can be machshir: wine, honey, oil, milk, tau, which is two, water, and blood. Those are the different liquids that are considered liquids. And if they come into contact with food, the food is able to be mekabel tumah, even after the liquid has been dried off and wiped off entirely. That's the halacha of Heksher. The machlokas between Hillel and Shammai, and later Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, was when someone collects his grapes in order to press them, are those grapes already able to be mekabel tumah, even though they did not come into contact with one of the seven liquids? Gemara asks, my taima, why should Shammai say that it's hukshar, that the grapes are able to be mekabel tumah if they have not come into contact with one of the liquids that is machshir, that prepares the food to be mekabel tumah? Gemara says, Zeiri Amar of Chanina, Gzeira Hashem Yitzirenu, Vekupos Tumeos. There is a Gzeira, lest a person collect his produce, his grapes, with baskets that are tumah. If he collects the grapes with baskets that are tame, then apparently the grapes will become tame, even if they do not come into contact with a liquid. That's what it seems to say. Even if they do not come into contact with a liquid, they will be, right? They will be, the grapes will become tame. But it's a bit more complicated than that. The reason it's more complicated is because water is machshir a fruit only if it comes into contact with that fruit, l'ratzon. If a person wants that water, if a person wants the water to come into contact with the fruit, then afterwards, when the water contacts the fruit or any other liquid contact the fruit is able to be mekabel tumah, since it was hukshar l'ratzon, since the person wanted it to come into contact with the liquid. However, if a person did not want the fruit to come into contact with the liquid, the fruit will not be able to become tumah, even if liquid touches it. This is called l'ratzon. You learn that from the pasuk, that the water that comes into contact with the fruit must be water that came into contact with the fruit. The ratzon is an additional din, Rishonim explained, and that is that even if the person did not want the water to come into contact with the fruit, the ratzon, if the person wanted the water to come into being, the ratzon, if a person wanted the liquid to be there at any time during the liquid's existence, even long before it came into contact with the fruit, the water or the liquid is then considered a machshir. It's considered something that is able to be machshir. It's considered l'ratzon. L'ratzon does not have to be to have the liquid touch the fruit. L'ratzon could be to have the liquid, period. If the person wants the liquid at any point in the liquid's existence, it is considered l'ratzon. Afterwards, if it comes into contact with the fruit, whether it is willingly or unwillingly, the fruit is able to be mekabel tumah. That is the din of Heksher Mashkin, according to most Rishonim. That's what the Mishnah says in the beginning of Maseches Machshirin, which discusses the laws of Heksher. Kol Mashke shetchilosa l'ratzon, afal pi she'ein sofa l'ratzon, o shesofa l'ratzon, afal pi she'ein chilosa l'ratzon, harezu v'chiyutai. If a person wanted the liquid at even in the beginning of the liquid's existence, but not in the end when it actually touched the fruit, he didn't want it to touch the fruit, or if he wanted it to touch the fruit but he didn't want the liquid at any point before that, in either case, the liquid will be able to allow the fruit to become a kabel tumah. Why? Because the liquid was leraton. The liquid fell on the fruit, leraton. Leraton means that it was able to be, that a person wanted the liquid to be there. He wants the liquid to be there, whether he wants just the liquid to be in existence or whether he wants the liquid to fall on the fruit, the liquid is considered leraton and is able to be machshir. When a person collects wine, grapes, in order to press them, the baskets are filled with grapes, the baskets of grapes they collected are filled with grapes, but more than that, the baskets also have liquid in them. What kinds of liquid do they have in them? They have in them liquid wine or grape juice that leaks from the grapes. It's almost impossible to fill up a basket of grapes and not to have any liquid around the grapes, because the grapes press into each other and liquid flows out. The grapes naturally becomes squozen to a certain extent. A certain amount of liquid escapes from them. Is that liquid considered liquid that escapes the leraton, liquid that I am interested in? Gemara says, no, it's not considered liquid that I am interested in, because I have no use from that liquid. What's going to happen to that liquid? It's going to drip down on the floor and going to go to waste. Since it's going to go to waste, I have no benefit at all from that liquid. I don't want that liquid to come out of the grape. I'd rather have all the liquid remain inside the grapes until I bring it to the wine press. What leaks out of the grapes earlier will not go to the wine press. Instead, it will leak out of the baskets, which are woven baskets made out of branches or leaves, and the grape juice flows between the branches of the leaf and escapes. The Gemara says that grape juice is therefore considered, the grape juice that is in the baskets is considered grape juice that's shalol l'rasun and should not be able to be machshir the grapes. Nevertheless, Shammai made a gzera afterwards that such liquid is machshir the grapes, and the grapes are able to become tameh. Why? Because a person might collect the grapes with kupos tmeos, with baskets that are tameh. If one collects the grapes with baskets that are tameh, then apparently, even though the liquid dripped out inadvertently, unintentionally, I did not want the liquid to leave the grapes, nevertheless, that liquid can be machshir the grapes and can make it able to be mekabel tumah. We forego the normal requirement that the water come out l'ratzon when the baskets that the grapes are in are baskets that are tummy. The Gemara says this, however, isn't agreed upon by all. Hanich l'mandam a kli tummy kol shev mashkin shaper. El l'mandam a ain kli tummy kol shev mashkin ma'ikel l'meimah. If you say that there is such a rule that when the utensil, when the kli, when the basket in which the grapes are found is tummy, then we forego the requirement that the liquid touching the grapes has to touch the grapes l'ratzon. But if you argue on that and say that we require the liquid to be l'ratzon even when the baskets in which the liquid and grapes are found are tameh, then why should Shammai say that the grapes which are collected are tameh? Even if we collect them in baskets that are tameh, the grapes still will not be hukshiru, will not be able to be mekabel tumah. Why then should Shammai say that grapes collected in a basket, in order to squeeze them out, are hukshiru, are able to be mekabel tumah? There should be no instance in which the grape juice which leaked out of those grapes are able to be machshir the grapes. Even if we collect them in a basket that's tumah, the grape juice cannot be machshir the grapes. That's what the Gemara says. In other words, there's a machlokes about this point. Can baskets which are tumah cause us to forego the normal requirement that mashkin should be l'ratzon? The Gemara says that according to that opinion that says baskets that are tummy make no difference, and we still require mashkin l'ratzon, that the liquid which touches the peris be l'ratzon, be willing, and I want the liquid. If so, what was the gzeir of Shammai? Why did he say that the grapes that are collected for pressing are automatically hukshir? The water, the liquid that touches them is not l'ratzon. My answer is Shemi Yisrenu Bekupas Mezug Papos. Maybe one will collect the grapes in a solid tarred basket where none of the liquid can leak out. In such an instance, one will indeed want to have the liquid that leaks out of the grapes, because they'll just pour it all into the gas. It won't leak out of the basket. So I'll be pleased that the liquid has leaked out, because I'll use it for grape juice. There's nothing that I will not be pleased about with the liquid that remains in the that leaks out of the grapes into the basket, since it won't drop from the basket, but rather it will remain in the basket, and I'll use it I'll add it to my wine press. I'll add it to my collection of wine. Mara goes to another answer that there's a xera. Maybe a person will want to test to see whether the grapes are ripe, and he'll take some grapes. He'll pluck some grapes in the vineyard and squeeze them out on top of the other grapes. When he collects the grapes, there'll still be some liquid that he squeezes out on the grapes that remain. Since when he squeezes those grapes, he is pleased to see the wine that comes out, because it shows that the grapes are ripe. He wants to see whether wine comes out or not. He wants to see whether grape juice comes out or not. In such a case, when he willingly squeezes the grapes in order to produce the grape juice, it's clear that that grape juice is considered lerotum. And if it remains on the other grapes that are behind, when one collects those other grapes and pulls them off the tree, then the grape juice that remains on them will be able to be mashir them. That's what the Gemara says. That's why Shammai made the gzeira. In any case, the gzeira of Shammai was that when a person collects grapes, the grapes are automatically considered fit to be mekabel tuma. The reason for the gzeira is because there are cases when the grapes will indeed be fit to be mekabel tuma, either when he collects them in baskets that are tamei, according to the opinion that we do not require l'rotzon when the baskets are tamei, or else because maybe he'll collect the grapes with baskets that are tarred, or else with baskets that are, or else he'll collect grapes that have on it liquid that he squeezed from grapes long ago when he wanted to test whether the grapes were ripe or not. We're discussing the opinions that say a basket that has tummy does not need the requirement of l'rotzon. When the basket is tummy and the liquid that leaks from the grapes as well as the grapes are inside the basket, we forego the requirement of l'rotzon. It's not necessary for the liquid to be l'rotzon in order to be mashed with the grapes. Why should that be? What difference should it make if the baskets are tummy? And it's more than that. Tosfos, another Rishonim, bring the source for this opinion in the Tosefta. There is such an opinion that we have that they found who the opinion is. It's the opinion of Rav Yossi that says, the opinion of Rav Meir that when the baskets are tummy, then we forego the requirements of l'rotzon. But it's clear, both from that Tosefta, as well as from our Gemara, that the liquid itself does not become tamei. The grape juice that leaks from the grapes does not become tamei just because the baskets are tamei. Rather, the grape juice is considered to have touched the grapes l'rotzon, and now the grapes become tamei from the basket. We find that the liquid that is in a basket that has tamei is b'chiyutan, meaning that it's not tamei, but rather it is machshir. This is clear from Rashi also. Rashi says, the kupos tmeos de asid tumas akli u'machshir leila mashke lahachshir. It allows the mashke to be machshir. It doesn't say it allows the mashke to become tamei. The next Rashi says also, choshev mashke lahachshir ochel shebetochel. The baskets allow the mashke to be machshir the food that's also in the baskets. Why don't we say that baskets which are tamei, just like they allow the food to become hukshir from the mashke, because ratzon isn't necessary, they should allow the mashke itself to become tamei. After all, the halacha is that a mashke, which is l'ratzon, becomes tamei as soon as tumah touches it. Any mashke which is l'ratzon becomes tamei as soon as tumah touches it. It doesn't have to touch anything in advance, because mashke is already mashke. Mashke is a liquid. And therefore, if it touches, if it doesn't have to touch another liquid in order to be able to become a kabel tumah, what does it need? It needs l'rotzon. It's necessary that the mashke the mashka that I was pleased with, if a kupa tmeya makes us forego that requirement that we don't have to have l'ratzon, it's not necessary for the mashka to be l'ratzon, then it should be not necessary for the mashka to touch the peiros l'ratzon, and it should also be not necessary for the mashka to be mekabel tuma l'ratzon. The mashka should be able to be mekabel tuma, even if I don't want that mashka. The grape juice should be mekabel tuma, just like the grapes in the basket are able to be mekabel tuma when they come in contact with the mashka, even if they came in contact shelo l'ratzon. What's the difference? So to understand this, I'd like to go a little bit deeper into the subject of machshirin, of hechsher peiros, and to bring an important machlokas rishonim about the very basic meaning of hechsher peiros. There's a machlokas, Rambam and the other rishonim regarding what it is that allows the fruit to become hukshah or tumah. Can you give me a random tire from that side? And the machlokas goes like this. It goes like this. According to most rishonim, if I was pleased with a mashke, with a liquid, at any point during its existence, I was pleased that it came into being, then that mashke, that liquid, is able to be mashke if it later comes into contact with the food. There's only one ratzon which is required, and that ratzon is, I want this mashke. How do I want it? Either I want it to come into being. For instance, if a person puts a bowl out in the rain to collect the rain, he wants to collect rain, he wants to fill a bowl up with rain, he wants to wash the bowl or something like that, then we say, he wants to keep the rainwater and do something with it. Then we say that the rainwater is able to be mashir l'kabel tuma. It is considered l'ratzon. The person is pleased with it. If it later falls onto peiros, or if peiros fall into that plate, that bowl, whether or not the peiros came willingly, makes no difference. In any case, since the person was pleased that the mashka came into existence, he was pleased, he wanted to collect that liquid, then the liquid will be mashka. That's the way most Rishonim understand. One ratzon is needed. The Rambam, in Perek Yud-Beis of Hilchos Tumas Eichlin, argues, he says that there are two parts to the ratzon. One part is, after fall onto the eichel b'rotzen abaylin, he says, "Tivrei hechsher eichem kabbalahem." Learning from a pasuk, he said, "Vuchei nasin aleim b'rotzen abaylin, ba'achesh nekrim nekaka." The mashka, the liquid, has to be placed on the fruits b'rotzen abaylin with the by the owner. He throws in the bialin. That's another machlokes rishonim, whether the person that pleased has to be the owner, or whether anybody who is pleased with the water is able to make it l'ratzon. Rambam says only the owner can make it l'ratzon. But the Rambam says that besides the ratzon that's needed when the person puts the water on the fruit, there's another ratzon. Mashkin shenitlushu min akharka. It has to be nitlash from the. It has to be separated from the ground. The ratzon, the mashka, the liquid has to be separated from the chubur, separated from the ground. The ratzon, it's not separated from the ground. The ratzon, it is not machshir. That's what it says. Meaning, if a person wants to fill a bowl with water, the water in the heavens before it rains is considered mechubar l'karka. It's considered mechubar. It's not able to be machshir. When it falls into a bowl, it is now tolush. It is now separated from the ground. And if it's tolush, it should be able to be machshir. But it has to be tolush l'ratzon. It has to be that it filled up that bowl l'ratzon. The owner is pleased that it filled up the bowl. If so, according to the Rambam, we have our first step of mashkin l'ratzon. You wanted the water to fall into the bowl? Consider l'rotzon. But if fruit fall into it, it will not be mashed by fruit unless you put the fruit in l'rotzon. There's a second rotzon that's involved, and that is that the fruit has to come into contact with the liquid, also l'rotzon. So again, A, the liquid has to be separated from the ground, l'rotzon. Something, a concept that the other Rishonim don't recognize at all, that there's such a thing as separating from the ground, l'rotzon. And second of all, the liquid has to afterwards come into contact with the fruit, l'rotzon. According to the Rambam, there are two steps. One, the liquid has to be separated from the ground, l'rotzon, meaning I have to collect the liquid, l'rotzon. Second of all, the liquid has to come into contact with the fruit, l'rotzon. Only then is the fruit mekabel tumah. Other Rishonim hold, only one l'rotzon is necessary. If the person wants the water to be around, or he wants the water to come into contact with the fruit, which is also tantamount to wanting the water to be around, that's considered l'rotzon. He has to want the water. According to the Rambam, he has to want the water to be separated from the ground, and he has to want the water to be... He has to want the water to come into contact with the fruit. There seems to be proof to either side. For example, many Mishnayos talk about the water that has been collected being b'chi yutan. Says that if in Machshirin, for instance, in Perek Daled, it talks about the case of the bowl, hakosel, kaira al hakosel, ishvil shetudach reiz b'chi yutan. If a person puts a bowl on the wall in order that it should be washed off, then it's b'chiyutan. What's b'chiyutan? He turned the bowl upside down on the wall in order for it to be washed off. It would seem that the water is now washing off of the bowl and falling on the ground. He didn't want the water that fell off of the bowl to come into contact with food. It doesn't say that, at least in the Mishnah. It says he wanted the bowl to be washed. That means that the water is able to be machshir. Why is the water able to be machshir, according to the Rambam? It still has to come into contact with fruit, the ratzon. And meanwhile, this water is just washing down onto the ground and falling onto fruit or something. Where is it coming into contact with the fruit, the ratzon? The Rambam, when he brings this down, says, Kofa Kaira al Kosa Bashusha Tuda, Chamayim Shebo Machshirim. The water inside of it is Machshir. The Iminich Ben Peyo Tuchshirum, Meshen Ketlushim Betli Kulilazas. Rambam says, the Mishnah is not talking about water that washes off of the bowl and is Machshir, it falls onto fruit. That's not the case at all. The case is that the water stays in the bowl. The bowl collects the water. And the Mishnah is saying that the water is b'chiyutan, meaning it has the first requirement, the first ratzon. What's the first ratzon? That a person wanted the water to be tolosh, to be in a bowl, not to be on top of the ground, but to be in a bowl. That's what he wanted, the ratzon. It's b'chiyutan means that if you now have a second step, and you put fruit into this water, the ratzon, also, then the fruit will be mekabel tumah. However, if the water washes off the bowl, it's certainly not going to. If it washes onto fruit, it won't make the fruit able to be mekabel tumah. You have to add fruit to that water, l'rotzon, in order for the water to be mekabel tumah. Because of that, he has to learn that the water didn't fall on the ground. It didn't just wash off of the bowl and fall down, but it stayed in the bowl so that it was available to put fruit into it later. I'm talking about a rainy day, so... If it rains and the water in the bowl just washes onto the ground, it gets mixed with the rest of the rainwater. But if the water stays in the bowl, and then later when it stops raining, you put fruit into the bowl, then it will be mashir. The Rambam has to be nitchak in the Mishnah and say that the water remains in the bowl, and chiyutan means l'ratzon. L'ratzon means that if you have the second requirement, l'ratzon, and you also add the fruit to the water, l'ratzon, they will be able to be mekabel tumah. That's where the Rambam had to be nitchak, had to say a fourth explanation in the Mishnah. Another place where the Rambam had to say a fourth explanation is in our Gemara. The Gemara said that a case of Betzira, where a person collects his grapes, where the grapes will be able to be mekabel tumah midaraisa, and not just because of the gzera, is where a person squeezes grapes in his field to test if the grapes are ripe enough. Then later, right, the liquid from the grapes that he squeezes falls onto other grapes. Then later, when he collects the other grapes, have liquid on it still, and therefore they'll be hukshiru midaraisa, because the liquid that's on it was liquid that was berotzon, that a person was pleased with. The Gemara says, Adam Hayochel Karma Leida, Pamel Adam Hayochel Karma Leida, Higiu Anavim Litzira. He wants to see if the fruit is ripe enough. Olo, Venotel Eskol Anavim Lesofso, and he takes a cluster of grapes to squeeze it, Umizalafel Kabe Anavim, and he squeezes it on top of other grapes. So Vishas Tzira, Dai Mashket Tzayach Aleim. Then when he collects the grapes, there still is liquid on those grapes. So, according to the Rambam, why will that liquid be machshir? According to the Rambam, you have to be tolish liquid l'ratzon. You have to take liquid off of the karka l'ratzon. When he squeezes grapes, and the wine that falls out of them falls onto other grapes that are in the vineyard, the other grapes are still attached to the ground. So he didn't do anything to be tolish that grape juice l'ratzon. It's falling onto grapes that are part of the vineyard. So Rambam, because of this, learns an original pshat in the Gemara, and he says in Perek Yud Aleph of Simat Aleichem Alocha Aleph, that they might gather a base of gashim milchshir. She put them other nichus lekaim and laid them a gear libatzer. The sochet eshkol shel anovim livdoko umazalto al gabei ha anovim ha betzuros. Called the dricha oimet. He says that it's only going to be l'ratzon if you squeezed out the grapes on top of another mamaturos, other grapes that already are picked. That's when the liquid that comes out will be l'ratzon, because he wants it to be tolish at l'ratzon. He wanted it to go out onto the other grapes that are not mechuber. You squeezed it out of the grapes onto grapes that are detached, that are not attached from the ground. And you also were pleased that the grape juice landed on the grapes and came into contact with them, because you want to squeeze all of the grapes and the juice that's on them in the gas. You wanted that all to be collected in the gas. The Rambam had to say that the chashash is that the Gemara says the by a gas, by a grapes that are collected for pressing, is only when a person squeezes grapes to test if they're ripe, and he squeezes them onto other grapes that have already been collected. The Mishnah Achrona points this out in Mesechus Tyrus, Paragid Mishnah Beis, that this Mishnah, that this Gemara seems to support the other Rishonim's opinion, and not the opinion of the Rambam. It seems that it is not necessary to be tolesh mashkin l'ratzon, to have mashkin fall on something that's tolesh with the ratzon of the owner. On the other hand, there are Mishnayos that seem to support the opinion of the Rambam. In the Mishnah, in the beginning of Machshir, in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, the Mishnah tells us, Hamarid es ha'ilan lahashir menu oichlam es ha'tumma enu b'chiyutan, lahashir menu mashkin, then we say it's b'chiyutan. The mashkin ha'yosin b'chiyutan. What this means is, if a person shakes the tree that's wet, in order to get the liquid out of the tree, the liquid that comes out is b'chiyutan. Why is it b'chiyutan? Because you want that liquid. According to the other Rishonim, according to most Rishonim, this is hard to understand. In what way, is this going to be l'ratzon? You want to clear the water off of the tree. You're shaking the water out of the tree. If you're shaking it out, that's called l'ratzon, that you want the water. So Tosfos and Tresis, the Svav and Mabez, other Rishonim as well, explain that it's l'ratzon, since you want to see the liquid out on the ground. You want it out. Wanting it out is also called wanting the liquid. It's true you want to get rid of the liquid, but you want it out. You want it separated from the tree. That's also called l'ratzon. So it's a little bit forced. The Mishnah Achrona points out that according to the Rambam, the Mishnah is extremely clear. The Mishnah is simply saying that the requirement of the first ratzon, meaning that we have to want to separate the liquid from the ground, per ratzon, is fulfilled if a person shakes out water from a tree, because he wants the water not to be in the tree. And if he shakes it out of the tree, he wants it to be tolush l'ratzon. if it then falls onto fruits or something like that, that liquid is considered tamash l'rotam, because I was trying to shake it off the tree. I was trying to take it off of the mechuber. A tree is mechuber l'karka, connected to the ground. I was trying to separate it from the tree. I was separating it from the tree l'rotam. And therefore, it is indeed considered l'rotam according to the Rambam. It's very clear that even though I'm taking it away, since I'm separating it from the ground l'rotam, it could be considered l'rotam. It could be considered kiyuta, and it could be considered having the pleasure of the Bible. Another Mishnah that seems to support the Rambam is the first Mishnah, Machshirin. Kol mashke shetchilas l'rotzon, afo pishen tofa l'rotzon. If a mashke, right, was even chilas l'rotzon, even in the beginning you wanted it l'rotzon, then it's mashke. According to the other Rishonim, this meant, if I wanted the liquid to be in existence at any point during its existence, then mashke, if it later falls on a fruit, it would be mashke. The last words in the Mishnah are Mashkin Tameyim Matamin L'Ratzim Shelo L'Ratzim. Mashkin, liquid that's Tamey, can be Matamey even Shelo L'Ratzim. How could liquid ever become Tamey? In order for liquid to be Makabel Tumah, you have to have Ratzim, you have to want that liquid. Once you want that liquid to be in existence for one moment, then the liquid considered L'Ratzim, it will be Mashir fruit, because it will be considered Ratzim. If it falls onto fruit, even inadvertently, that liquid considered l'ratzon because of chilas l'ratzon ain't sof l'ratzon. I wanted the liquid to be in existence, right? Therefore, the liquid is able to be mekabel tuma. Now that it's tuma, if we say that it could be metame teres even shelo l'ratzon. What do you mean? Once I wanted the liquid is always l'ratzon, and no matter when it falls onto fruit and how it falls onto fruit, it's considered hashel l'ratzon according to most Rishonim. What does it mean that mashkin tumeim, liquid that is tamei, can be metamei shelo l'ratzon? There should be no such case that liquid can ever become tamei unless there was once ratzon. Once it's ratzon, then it's considered ratzon. It's enough ratzon to make the fruit tamei, to make the fruit be able to be mekabel tuma, even though I didn't want the liquid to touch the fruit per ratzon. Whether the liquid's tamei or tar, it'll be considered ratzon. What does it mean that mashkin tumeim, specifically mashkin that's tamei, will be able to be metamei of fruits, even shelo l'ratzon? Once the mashka could become tummy, it means that you already had ratzon for the mashka. You wanted the mashka. If you had ratzon, then even if the mashka didn't become tummy, it could be mashir if it touches the fruits. According to the Rambam, it's clear. You need two separate ratzons. One ratzon is the ratzon for the mashka to be tolish. That ratzon makes the mashka able to become tummy. After that, you have to have that liquid touch the fruits, the ratzon. Right? That liquid still has to touch the fruits, the ratzon. The Mishnah says that if it's mashkim tumeim, once the mashkim tumeim, it doesn't have to touch the fruits of ratzon. Only if it's tar, it has to touch the fruits of ratzon. According to the other Rishonim, we cannot say this. Only one ratzon is necessary. Once you have one ratzon, then whether the ratzon is ratzon for the liquid or whether the ratzon is ratzon to touch for the liquid to touch the fruit, in either case, that's enough to make it tumeim. So, according to the other Rishonim, we'll have to say that this mashkim tumeim is like the Vilna Gaon says, like the Rash says, it's referring to mashkin v'zav v'zav. It's referring to the liquid that came from a zav or a zava. Any of the liquids of a zav or a zava, the natural liquids that come out of him, like his urine or his spit, is tamei. Not because it's a tamei liquid, because it's something that came from a zav. If something comes from a zav, the spit of a zav is able, right? Then the Mishnah is saying that kind of mashka tamei is able to be mashir fruit, even if the fruit never touched liquid before. If the first time it came into contact with liquid is with the spit of a zav, since the spit of a zav is tamei, even though there's no ratzon involved, he never wanted the spit of a zav, it drips from his mouth or something like that, that is still able to be mashir the fruit, because mashkim tmeim are more potent. Once they're tamei, they're able to be mashir the fruit in any case. Okay. Misvara, the words of the Rambam, are very easy to understand for the following reason. What's the reason that mashkim have to be mashir fruit before they can be mekabel tuma? Why is it that fruit has to come into contact with liquid in order to be mekabel tuma? The Chinuch explains, the remnants of his words in the Gemara and Chulin, that fruit, which have not come into contact with liquid, are in some measure, they're considered to be not fully prepared to eat. Why is that? Says that normally fruits and vegetables that are picked have to be washed off from the dirt. Therefore, if liquid didn't come into contact with food, it's not yet ready to eat. Once liquid comes into contact, we don't make a share, we don't make a rule that has to wash off the entire food, whatever. Once liquid comes into contact with it, we say, okay, that's considered to be washed off. Any of these seven liquids, even blood, even honey, even any of these seven liquids, since they're considered liquids, can wash off food. And can make the fruit be considered to be finished. It makes the fruit considered to be ready to be eaten. The Chinuch points out that we find a similar situation in many places with regard to Kabbalah Tumah, with regard to any halacha that involves fruit or a kli. The fruit or the kli has to be finished in order for it to be mekabel tumah. We find that a kli that is in the process of being made, but it's not completely finished, like we didn't yet polish it, we didn't yet rub off the sharp edges, it's not mekabel tumah, because there's no gemar malacha. Similarly, if when it comes to a fruit that when it comes to separating challah, separating truma, there's no halacha. It's not necessary to separate truma or challah before the fruit has a gemar malacha. The fruit is fully ready to eat. Before the fruit is fully ready to eat, it's been collected into a silo, and you've done winnowing. Before that, you cannot separate truma from it. Challah can't be separated from a dough until it's made into a dough. Flour cannot have challah separated from it. It's only when it's made into a dough, then there's a gemar malacha. Says the chinas, the same thing applies with regard to tumah of peiros. Before liquid touches it, it's not considered a gemar malacha. Why should it be that blood can prepare fruit in that case? Why should it be that honey or milk can be something that can prepare fruit? The answer is because in the Gemara, which teaches us that these seven liquids are able to be mashke. The Gemara learns out that all these are considered mashke, considered liquids. The blanket rule is anything that's a mashke, that's a liquid, can prepare food, because normally you have to have it come in contact with a liquid, not just the water. Anything that's a liquid that fits into the category of liquid can prepare food to be finely prepared. And that's why these seven things, which the Torah refers to in various places as liquids, and they're used to drink, it says daman avim tishtachomer, even blood in the pasuk, uses the phrase of blood with regard to drinking in different places. Yishtu it says in different places the word shtia with regard to blood as well. So therefore, even blood and honey and milk and oil, all these things are liquids which a person can drink, and therefore they can be machshia, can prepare something to be eaten by washing it, by coming into contact with the fruit. According to the other Rishonim, how do we understand this logic of gemar malacha, of having a food finally prepared by having liquid come into contact with it, l'ratzon? It's not necessary to have ratzon for the food to come into contact with the liquid. Even if I want the liquid to be in existence, and later the liquid inadvertently falls on the food, it's considered hukshah. Why then how can we explain this phenomenon, that liquid that comes inadvertently into contact with fruit is mashia, as long as we had ratzon for the liquid to be in existence? Why should it be necessary to have a ratzon for the liquid to be in existence? That's the problem over here. I'm going to other Rishonim. If the whole point is the liquid makes a gemar malacha, so I don't understand if you say the liquid has to come into contact with the fruit, the ratzon of the bialim, he has to prepare the fruit, have the fruit be finally prepared. Fine. But why should it be that the liquid has to be l'ratzon, and then it could come into contact with the food inadvertently? So according to the other Rishonim, you have to explain, and the Chinuch hints to this, that in order for the liquid to be considered a liquid, a person has to want that liquid to be in existence. Rainwater is not considered a liquid until a person wants to collect it. Honey is not considered a liquid until a person wants this honey to be around. Wine is not considered a liquid until a person wants this wine to be around. That's what the Gemara means to say. That's why when the wine drips out of the baskets, tolach le'ibud, it's considered to be not a liquid altogether. That's not a liquid. That's not something that we drink. That's something that's just, it's true, it's a liquid, but it's not a mashke. It's not a mashke. It's not something that we drink that's able to be drunk. And therefore, we have to want to come in, we have to want that liquid in order for the liquid to be able to be mashke. We have to want that liquid. That is what the requirement means according to those other Rishonim. You have to have rotten to make the liquid into a liquid. You have to have rotten in order for this to be considered a liquid. Alright, so the Avim Miluim in its tshuva at the end of Avim Miluim, Simin Chof brings the Rashbam in Bava Basa Tzadik Zayin that says that if wine, that the only time rotten is necessary is with water. But for wine, it's not necessary to have rotten. And he asks on that Rashbam from our Gemara, where it says clearly that even the wine that drips out of the basket has to be l'ratzon, otherwise it's not makshir. The Achronim answers the question by saying the Rashbam does not mean that wine doesn't need l'ratzon. It means that normally if a person has wine, as it's normally intended to be used as a drink. He has it inside of a kli. It's intended to be used as a drink automatically because you want to drink it as soon as you have wine in a kli. Over here, when the wine or grape juice that's dripping from the grapes goes and drops to the ground, it's not a mashke at all. It's not something that you can drink. It's going to fall to the ground. Unless you intend to collect it, it's not considered a mashke at all, and it will not be machshir. According to the Rambam, the Ratzon is doing something else. The first Ratzon is making it considered to be a mashke, the tolish. Something that's connected to the ground can't be considered a mashke. Once it's separated from the ground, it could be considered a mashke. So the first mashava, which is, I want this mashke to be separated from the ground per Ratzon, that Ratzon is making the liquid into a mashke, the tolish. Because something that's connected to the ground can't be considered a mashke. It's bottled to the rest of the ground. So when you have Ratzon, you're pleased with having this water be separated from the ground, then you are making a mashke, you're making it into a drink, because now it's something made to drink. That's very easy to understand. And the second Ratzon is that you have to want to have it come in contact with the fruit, the Ratzon. And that second Ratzon is in order to make a Gemar Malacha. And that's very good, why the Rambam says that it has to be l'ratzon of the bialim. When the fruit comes into contact with the liquid, it has to be that the owner of the fruit is pleased with it. Why? Because this is making a gemar malacha for the fruit, and in order to make the gemar malacha, the owner is the one that makes the gemar malacha, that finishes the fruit. Tis, he's the one that gets to finish it. Just as we find with gemar malacha of a kli. Gemara says that a gazlin cannot make the Gemar Malach of a Kli with his Ratzon unless he's considered the owner, unless it's after Yish and he's considered the owner. We see that the owner is the one that decides that when the food is finished, and when the object is finished, when the Gemar Malach is done. That second Ratzon requires Ratzon of the Bailin. First Ratzon, which just makes it into a Mashke, doesn't require Ratzon of the owner. Make it a Mashke, you don't require, there's no need to have Ratzon of the owner. But the second Ratzon, which is Ratzon to make a Gemar Malacha, that Ratzon has to be Ratzon of the Bailin, which is a Gemar Malacha. It happens with Ratzon, it's certainly the Bailin that has to have Ratzon. According to the other Rishonim, the Gemar Malacha happens by itself, it happens automatically, no Ratzon is necessary. Once it comes in contact with the Mashke, that's enough to make it considered Ratzon. That's why the other Rishonim could learn that you don't need the Das of the Bailin, it could be enough to just have Das of anyone in order to make the Mashke a Ratzon. And the Rambam also agrees that the first Das, the first type of ratzon, the ratzon to make a mashke separated from the ground, doesn't have to be with the ratzon of the bialim, as the Chazanish and Rabbi of Guzman, that's how I'll point out. That ratzon does not have to be the ratzon of the owner, it could be anyone's ratzon. Now let's look back at the Gemara here that says that there's an opinion that baskets which are tamei are able to be choshev mashke, able to make mashke, able to be are able to be machshir the fruit in the basket. So again, we said that the mashke itself does not become tamei, but the mashke in the basket is able to be choshev is able to, the mashia in the basket is able to be machshir the fruit in the basket because the basket is tameh and the fruit will become tameh the moment that they're mukshir. Since the fruit will become tameh and mukshir at the same time, therefore we say that the fruit, the water that touches the fruit inside the basket that's tameh, is able to be machshir, even though the water is not the liquid over here. In the case at hand, it's grape juice. It's not l'ratzon. Again, a basket full of liquid that's not l'ratzon. The basket is full of liquid that's not l'ratzon, and also has fruits in it. If the basket is tameh, since the fruits will become tameh the moment they're mukshir, therefore we say the liquid is machshir, even though there's no ratzon. If the baskets are tar, then liquid is not machshir, and the liquid has to be placed on the fruit, the ratzon. So according to the Rambam, I think we can understand this as follows. According to the Rambam, the type of ratzon that we have to have is ratzon to separate this liquid from the ground. Ratzon to be toilish this liquid. It could be that when the basket is tameh, since the basket could only become tameh if it's not part of the ground, there's no such thing as mechuber becoming tameh. The very fact that the basket's tameh shows that it's not mechuber. Maybe that makes it that the liquid inside of it is not considered mechuber anymore. If it's not considered mechuber, then we forego the initial requirement that you have to be toilish the mashkin l'ratzon. Normally you have to be toilish the mashkin l'ratzon. Why? You have to make it that the liquid is not connected to the ground, it has to be l'ratzon. Over here, there's something else that makes the liquid not connected to the ground. It's not your ratzon that makes it that's not connected to the ground, that makes it considered tolish, that makes it considered a mashke. It's the fact that it's in a kupa that's tummy, that makes it that the liquid is no longer considered mechuber. On the other hand, the liquid isn't yet considered tolish. It's not mechuber, but it's not yet tolish either. It's not considered mechuber because it's in a basket that's tameh. But it's not considered tolish either because you didn't have ratzon to be tolish it. You didn't have ratzon to separate it from the ground. In such a case, what will happen? Perhaps we'll say that if the liquid comes into contact with the fruit, the ratzon, then right, he wants the liquid to be on the fruit, because as the Rambam says, he's going to press it all in the gas. Whatever liquid does touch the grapes, he wants it to stay on the grapes, because whatever it does come to in contact with the grapes, he'll press in the gas. The problem is they didn't want to be tolish the mashkin l'ratzon, according to the Rambam. That was why the mashkin in the baskets wasn't machshir. Now that you say kli tamei chayshev mashkin, what we're saying is that solves the problem that makes it that's not considered mechuber anymore. And now, when you want it to touch the grapes, it will be mashed to the grapes. But the liquid itself won't become a kabel tumma. Why? Because in order for the liquid to become a kabel tumma, you have to have a ratzon for the liquid to be there. You have to have a ratzon for the liquid to be tolish. And you don't have a ratzon for the liquid to be tolish. You don't have a ratzon that I want the liquid to be tolish. You just have something in place of that, which is that the kupas are tameh, which makes it that the liquid is not considered mechuber. Yet it's still not considered tolish. Therefore, the liquid will not be mekabel tuma. What will it do? It'll be machshir mekabel tuma if it comes into contact with something else, the ratzon. The only thing that we're going to forego is the ratzon, the first ratzon, which is the ratzon to be toilish the liquid. We won't forego the second ratzon, which is the ratzon to want the fruit itself. In the case of liquids, the ratzon to want the liquid itself. You won't forego the ratzon to have the liquid touch the fruit. In the case of liquid, you won't forego the ratzon to have the liquid tolish. According to the Rambam, that might be why the mashke is only going to be machshir, the fruit, but it won't become tummy itself. According to the other Rishonim, we have to say the following. When the kli is tummy, it's considered a sugo hechshir. It's considered, it gives a certain importance to the liquid, because the liquid will be able to make the fruit. It'll give a certain importance to the liquid. And it won't, according to the other Rishonim, it's harder to understand why the liquid itself won't become tameh, because if you want the liquid, then if the liquid is considered ratzon, the liquid itself should become tameh. I have to say that it gives only a certain level of ratzon, the amount of level of ratzon to say that it could be machsher the fruit. Not enough for the liquid itself to become mukhsher. It's a hard concept. It's not clear why. Why don't you say the liquid itself should become tameh? According to the Rishonim, it's harder to understand. According to the Rambam, though, I think we could explain the way we said that the tumah of the basket allows us to forego the first ratzon, the ratzon to be tolesh, the mashke from the ground. But it doesn't allow us to forego the second ratzon, which is that we want the fruit to come in contact with the liquid, or that we want the liquid itself. That's why the liquid itself doesn't become tameh.